Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. It's good to be together. Thanks for being here this morning. Folks who are joining online, good to be with you as well. We have come to worship the Lord. We've come to this place to encounter the living God who we know meets with us as we come and turn our hearts together in community to meet with him. And so whether we're feeling a bit groggy this morning or a bit discouraged or just kind of complacent, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. We have a fresh restart right here, right now, knowing that we have a God who is on the move, a God who is passionate about us, who loves us, and who wants to meet us here. And so we prepare our hearts to meet him and even be changed by him. As we prepare our hearts for worship, hear these words from Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is he that made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, his faithfulness to all generations. Would you pray with me? Father God, we join the psalmist in declaring that you are good. Lord, we could be 1,000 other places today, but our hearts want to be here, singing songs to you, declaring our gratitude for all that you have done to show us your mercy and your grace and your love. You are worthy of our gathering. You're worthy of our attention. You're worthy of our lives. And so here we are, oh God, the best we know how, showing up to you, to honor you, and to ask you to meet us, to heal us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to overwhelm us with your love once again. We ask for forgiveness, O God, for the ways just this week that we have gone our own way. And we turn back to you with our full hearts. Have your way in us, we pray. That's why we're here, God, because we want you to have your way in us. And would you fill our hearts and our gathering with joy as we lift up your name together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue this morning in our new series on the God who heals. Last week, we saw the God who heals broken bodies, physically speaking. The next few weeks, a God who heals broken relationships. And this morning, specifically, relationships that we break whenever we are the reason that somebody else is hurting. We're going to be all over Genesis 31, 32, and 33. So if you've got a Bible, open to Genesis 31 and get ready to flip some pages around. Let's pray. Father God, now we turn to your word. And we do so, oh God, not really because we want just more information about you. We could get that on Google. We turn to your word, O God, because we want to encounter you through your story, which you have invited us into, so it's our story too. We turn to your word, O God, because we believe that you alone have the words that speak to the depths of our hearts. You're our creator. You're our sustainer. You know who we are. You know what we need. And you know, God, how to meet us and how to find us when we hide. And so as we turn to your word, meet us here, God. Let us encounter you, O God. Let us grow in this loving relationship that you've started in us, O God. Would your spirit move freely these moments, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you might help us be whoever it is you want us to be, so you would help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot today, And so I gave you a handout. Jolene, I was thinking of you. She likes those handouts. Just because these are going to be things that you're going to want to tuck somewhere in your Bible and I hope pull out over and over and over again. And if you don't have a handout, good luck remembering any of them because there's a whole lot in these chapters. But here we start the story of Jacob and Esau. It was the summer before sixth grade for me. And I was going to camp with one of my friends' churches. And before I got in sixth grade, I was right on the cusp of being one of the popular kids. And this friend was my gateway into that crowd. Several of the popular ones I knew were going to be at camp too. I had this entire week to show up and to prove my worth for being in the group. My other friend, Sarah, not popular at all. Her mom talked to my mom one day about summer plans, and my mom had to go and blab about a summer camp. Sarah's mom thought it sounded like a great idea for Sarah, too. She was going to come, and all of a sudden, sixth grade Jamie was in a predicament. I could spend that week at camp hanging out with my real friend, who wasn't popular, or with my not-yet friends, who were. I tell you, for an entire 6 days, I completely ignored Sarah. Acted like I didn't even know who she was. And when I got home from camp, I remember still the sixth grade, and I still get choked up. I felt as low as I've ever felt in my life. I think perhaps it was that week that I realized for the very first time that there was something dark in me. That there was something that could actually purposely hurt somebody else for my very own gain. Do you remember the time you realized you had the capacity to hurt people? Turns out we've all got it. And turns out we all do it sometimes. Some of us more than others. Hopefully we're not those ones. We're in a series on healing, and the next few weeks, looking specifically at how God heals broken relationships, this morning specifically, how God heals when we are the ones who have caused that break. How do we join God's healing work when we have caused another pain? And our guide this morning is Jacob. Jacob and Esau are twins. They're Isaac's sons. And Jacob isn't the ideal brother by any means. Even at birth, when Esau is born, Jacob comes out behind him, grabbing his heel. There's strife, even from the womb. And their whole life long, Jacob is always manipulating. He's always getting whatever Jacob wants at whosoever expense, and usually it's Esau's. He takes advantage of Esau's hunger one day to trick him into giving over his birthright. And then when Isaac, the dad, is on his deathbed and he has gone blind, Jacob pulls more deceit. It says in Genesis that Esau was a hairy man. And so Jacob finds some animal skin and he puts it on his arm so his father will feel him, say, oh, it must be my hairy son Esau. Genesis is weird and it's great. And so he comes in and Isaac believes it's Esau. And so then Jacob asks his dad for the blessing that only goes to the eldest son. And this is a blessing of wealth, a provision for generations to come. And once Isaac speaks over his son this blessing, it cannot be taken back. It's done. It happens. And Jacob has essentially stolen everything from his brother. Absolutely tears the family apart. And when Esau gets wind of it, he's so mad that it says he wants to kill Jacob. And so what does courageous old Jacob do? He bails. Takes off. For 20 years, he's gone. Deceit, betrayal, lies, selfishness. Jacob is guilty of all of them and spends 2 decades with no contact with his brother. He broke this relationship. What do we do when we've gone and done that? Maybe not made our siblings want to kill us, but when we've hurt someone else for our very own gain. What do we do when we've lied to save our own face? What do we do when we've spoken those words that we know inflict pain? What do we do when we mess up that relationship that actually does matter to us? What do we do? After 20 years on the run, Jacob is called by God to go home and to face this mess that he's made. And this morning, I just want us to walk with Jacob as he heads back to meet Esau. And the hope is that it won't just be the story of Jacob and Esau. The hope is that maybe half an hour from now, we might leave this place and go home, return to someone that we've hurt to. What do you do when you've brought harm to another? First step in healing that pain, hear God's call. Genesis 31:3, God said to Jacob, "Return to the land of your ancestors and your kindred, and I will be with you." God speaks to Jacob clear as day one day, and he says, "Enough, Jacob. Enough of these games. Enough running away from what you've done. Go home. Make it right." When we've caused a relationship to break, our very first step in healing is also to open ourselves up to hear God's call to us. And this God who speaks to Jacob is the very same God who says to us in Romans 12, "As far as it depends on you, live at peace with one another." That's his call. This is the same Jesus who says in John 15, "What greater love is this than that one lays down his life for his friends?" Also, the same Jesus who, when he's giving that Sermon on the Mount, the one that's way longer than any of my sermons, and they stayed in the whole time, and that Sermon on the Mount, he said to them, he said, "When you're at worship and you remember that your brother has something against you because you probably hurt them," he said, "leave worship." Anybody going to leave right now? He said, "Leave worship. Go to that brother. Make things right. And then come back and give your offering to God." That's the same God. The one that called to Jacob calls to us. God heals relationships. And he starts this healing when we hear his call on our lives to make our messes right by leaning into the work of reconciliation. Who's hurting this morning because of some choices that we have made? Can we even dare ask the question? It's awkward. It's uncomfortable. Can you hear the call of God this morning? He's calling you. He's calling me to join his healing and setting that person free from their pain. Hear God's call. When we've heard another, after we hear God's call, it's already happened, the next step in healing, this is where it starts getting hard, refuse to bail, even when the path forward looks hard. When Jacob turns his gaze homeward, he gets word that things might get ugly. Genesis 32, verse 6, the messengers return to Jacob saying, "We came to your brother Esau, and he's coming to meet you. And 400 men are with him." Then Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. "Hey, Jacob, we told Esau you're coming home and he's ready for you. And he's got 400 men ready too." You see, last time Jacob saw Esau, Esau was ready to kill his brother. And now he's had 20 years to build up an army. This is terrifying. Jacob is shaking in his boots. He doesn't maybe want to go anymore. But do you notice what Jacob doesn't do? He doesn't turn around and go back. He doesn't avoid the confrontation. He knows in his heart of hearts that this might go really bad. But to make things right, to be faithful to his God, he's going to press on anyway. You know, I truly believe that we see true healing in so few broken relationships because we just bail too soon. We just bail. When things get hard, we just bail. Our human tendency, when we know that we've hurt someone, is just to spend the next 20 years making sure our paths don't cross. That's what we do. And if we live in a small town, did you know that? And so if we hurt someone in this town, you're probably going to see them eventually. And if we see them at Safeway, we just turn the other way. Or just unfriend them on social media. Try to forget what we did. Convince ourselves somehow that the relationship didn't really matter in the first place. It was never really a thing. We just bail. We bail because we fear that it might be awkward. Or even just risky to face the ones that we've hurt. And because we just bail and we bail and we bail, I believe with all my heart that we never get to see God's healing power on full display because we don't show up for it. Rarely, my friends, rarely does God heal broken relationships from a distance. His preferred way is when his broken people come back to the table together. That's why we come to the table right here every month. We're not bailing on each other. We're coming back together. Whatever you did this month to hurt my feelings, we're coming back to the table together. And the one who did the hurting leans in and dares to say, "This is hard, but I'm so sorry." Now, God can do something. If we keep running from hard conversations, if we keep running from awkward encounters, I tell you, we will never see what our God can do. We'll never see it. My very last day at my former church, I had been through about a year of a pretty tumultuous relationship with my supervisor, the pastor. We had shared some pastoral care situations together, and he handled it in a way that I didn't understand. And rather than talk to him about it, I just let myself become resentful and spent those last months just letting this sickness in my heart build and build and build. Now it's the last day in the office. I'm about to get to move to Washington. I'll be done with that chapter. And I'm walking with a friend the night before the last day and just telling her about my heart. She'd walk this journey with me. And she said, "Do you think you should talk to him tomorrow?" And I was like, I'm going to Washington. You know, I would rather not. I said, "But knowing how God works, I probably should." And I said, "So here's what I'll do. I'll tell God that if he just creates the time and the space to talk to him, I will. And if it's just a busy day of cakes and celebrations, I won't." I'll take it as a sign. I'm always looking for the sign out, right? So I get to the office that morning, last day in the office. Would you know, my 4 years in that church, it was that day they decided to change the carpets out in the entire office area of the church. We're all displaced. Would you know that he and I end up in a small room together for the entire day? Would you know that I was stubborn and took 2 hours to say anything? Oh, I was mad at God. This was awkward. This was hard. Finally, after just this long time of tension, I just spoke up and I said it. "I'm sorry. I'm sorry for how the last months have gone." I said, "I let my heart get resentful and I never talked to you about it. And I know I haven't treated you right because of it." And you know, we sat in that room and we hashed through some pain. We both named to each other what we had done. There were tears in our eyes. And at the end of that day, we embraced each other and we both said, "Gosh, I wish we had shown up to this conversation 6 months ago. Man, all these months that we've lost on bailing on each other, not wanting to do what's hard, we've been missing out this whole time on what our God could do." when we follow God's call to go back and to make it right, I tell you, my friends, we see God do his best work in us. My friends, if you've got resentful pockets in your heart this morning toward anyone, fix it. It's a sickness. God's not doing his best work in you. Resentment keeps it from happening. Jacob thought that his brother might have an army set up to kill him. And he moved forward anyway. Don't bail when it's hard. Because when it's hard, God tends to be in the midst of it, making things right. Then Jacob turns all this fear he's got going on in him into prayer. Genesis 32, verse 9. Jacob said, O God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, O Lord who said to me, return to your country and your kindred, I'll do good to you. I am not worthy of the least of all the steadfast love and all the faithfulness you've shown to your servant. For with only my staff I crossed this Jordan. Now I've become two companies. Deliver me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I am afraid of him. He may come and kill us all, mothers and their children. Yet you have said, I will surely do you good and make your offspring as the sand of the sea, which cannot be counted because of their number. My friends, before you throw yourself into a relationship that you've broken, just relying on your good wits and charisma to get you through, talk to God about it. Pray. Pray for mercy. Pray for what you've done. Pray for what you've left undone. Pray for courage. Pray for humility. Pray for wisdom. Pray for healing. Because truth is, you're not the one fixing this. Us humans, we can fix some things. We can fix flat tires. Some of you can. I can't. We can fix leaking sinks. Some of you can. I can't. But broken, hurting human hearts, we can't fix that. Only God, the one who holds those hearts, can fix that. Pray to God to heal the heart of the one you've hurt. We can break hearts really quickly, turns out. But we are pretty darn helpless when it comes to putting them back together. But good news, our God can. He can. So pray to God. Plead with God to step in and to do what we don't have a chance of doing on our own. Healing hearts, that is our God's specialty. Ask him to do it. Whose heart did you hurt most recently? Have you prayed to God yet to heal that heart? Maybe that's the easiest of the points today, so at least start that one. We can at least pray. Pray. That's God's favorite precursor to healing any day, when his people pray. Then, get ready, because after you pray, he usually puts you to work. Then, take the initiative. Take the initiative. Our least favorite word is Americans. Take the initiative and be generous toward the one you have hurt. Jacob gets up from prayer. He dusts off his knees, and he begins to send presents to Esau. I love it. Genesis 32, verse 13. So he spent that night there, and from what he had with him, he took a present for his brother Esau. 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes, 20 rams, 30 milch camels and their colts, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, 10 male donkeys. These he delivered into the hands of his servants. Every drove by itself and said to his servants, pass on ahead of me and put a space between drove and drove. He instructed the foremost, when my brother Esau meets you and asks you, to whom do you belong? Where are you going? And whose are these ahead of you? Then you shall say, they belong to your servant Jacob. They're a present sent to my lord Esau, and he's behind us. He instructed the second and third and all who followed, you shall say the same thing to Esau when you meet him. And you shall say, moreover, your servant Jacob is behind us, for he thought I may appease him with the present that goes ahead of me. And afterwards I shall see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. So the present passed on ahead of him, and he himself spent the night in the camp. Jacob makes the first move in making things right with Esau. And it's not just any move. It's a big, generous move. He starts sending tons of stuff Esau's direction. 220 goats, 220 rams, 60 camels, 50 cows, 30 donkeys all coming to Esau. And Jacob instructs his servants, when he asks you what this is all about, because he's going to ask you what this is all about, tell him these gifts are from his brother Jacob, and I'm coming too in hope of getting to see him face to face. You see, Jacob takes the initiative, and he moves into God's plan. I don't know about you, but so often when I've hurt someone, I say in my heart of hearts that I am willing to make it right, but I'm just waiting for God to tell me when the time is right. And so we sit and we wait. And we get busy with life and we wait. And we intend to write that letter one of these days, but for today, we wait. When God has already clearly told us what to do. When you've hurt someone, make it right. Sooner, not later. Now, not tomorrow. Jacob makes this plan for seeing his brother, and he gets to work acting on that plan. When we hurt people, my friends, the onus is on us to initiate whatever it's going to take to make it right. Don't wait for them. It's on us. I was coming back to Waco about a year after I'd been away for a visit. And word got out that I was going to be back in the church that Sunday. And I was a bit anxious, having not spoken to the pastor much for a year. Wasn't sure if I would really be welcome back after that hard conversation. Thanks be to God, he took the initiative. He gave me a call before I ever left the state. He said, I hear you're going to be with us soon. Can't wait to have you back. He said, I would love for you to give the benediction at church that Sunday that you're here. I would love for you to stand in my place, Jamie, and offer the offering, the blessing for our church. And I tell you, when he said that there on the phone, tears began to flood my eyes and healing flowed through my heart because he stepped out and he said, here's my peace offering. I'll go first in making this once broken relationship right again. I will let you stand in my place. I will say I'm with you and I'm for you. Wow. Have you ever hurt someone? Here's what you do. Here's what you do. Be the first one to send a gesture of kindness in their direction. Do something generous for them. Send 200 goats their way. Or maybe just an apology letter and a Starbucks gift card. I don't know, something. Don't wait for God to say, okay, it's time to initiate healing. He's the great healer. It's time. It's always time to say, I messed up. And I'm not going to let another day go by without owning it. Please forgive me. It's time. Move first. Move now. Move in generosity. Healing comes as we move with the God who's always sending us back to make it right. Before Jacob gets to Esau, he spends this most unusual night alone, wrestling with God. Genesis 32, verses 13, no, verses 22 to 31. The same night he got up, took his two wives, his two maids, his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I won't let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" He said, "Jacob." The man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you've striven with God and humans and have prevailed." Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." He said, "Why is it you ask my name?" There he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose on him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. In order to see healing in relationships that we have broken, we have got to work on our stuff with our God. Get alone with your God. Wrestle out those dark places in you. Come to terms with what you did and how you could do it. Jacob is about to walk into the scariest day of his life. He literally might die. What does he do? Sends everyone off and goes to the wilderness alone. And God meets him there. And all night long, they wrestle. They get bloodied. They get bruised. They get dust in their mouths. They swap sweat back and forth. This is our God. And God wants to call it quits before Jacob does. And Jacob says, "I'm not going to let go until you bless me." He's thinking, you know, bless me with assurance. I'm not going to die tomorrow. And God gives Jacob a different kind of blessing. It's a new name, Israel. That's what it's going to mean from that day forward to be God's people. Those ones who are willing to wrestle with God. Those who will bring their stuff to God and let God wrestle it out of them. And God said, "You are no longer Jacob." That very name Jacob meant deceiver. God says, "That's not who you are. We're going to wrestle this out of you tonight, Jacob, so you won't go on hurting those that you love over and over and over again." Jacob's blessing that night was coming to terms with who he had been. And it was this new name for who he was now going to be. Before we can be healing agents in all those relationships that we've broken, we have got to get away with our God and wrestle. We've got to work on our stuff until we are free of ourselves. We've got to ask those hard questions, not just what did I do, but why? Why? Why did I betray the person that I love? Why'd you make a choice that you knew would hurt your kids? Why'd you lie to get that promotion? Why'd you say those things behind your friend's back? Why? Why? What's broken in us that needs attention? Because I really believe this, you guys. We hurt people not because we're bad, mean people. We hurt people because there's something in us that is hurting. And there's something that needs God's healing touch. And we aren't going to get that unless we, like Jacob, intentionally step aside and wrestle out our stuff with God. If we don't do that, we'll apologize, and a week later, we'll do it again. Why? 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 What's broken in me? Why? On the days that I notice that I'm kind of just edgy, and I'm snapping at people I love, and I'm hurting them with my words, I'm slowly but surely learning that in those moments to close my computer, put the darn phone away, get my dog, and go somewhere. Go on a walk somewhere quiet where I can get away from people so I'll quit hurting them, and where I can ask God, "What is going on in me, God? Why am I so on edge? I don't want to hurt people. Show me, God, what's hurting in me so I can keep my hurt from becoming their hurt." Sometimes I just go on a walk with my dog and say, "Enough treating people like that. We're going to go figure out why." Let's wrestle, God. And my friends, there have been two times in my life where I felt resentment building up in me towards people who had hurt me. And I found in this resentment, it was causing me to want them to hurt too. And I knew Jesus wasn't in that. And I knew a walk in the woods wasn't going to fix it. I needed more help. And I ended up already twice in my life in long seasons with amazing counselors who could give me tools to work out my stuff with God. If you've got a thing about counselors, get over it. Sometimes they're God's greatest gift of healing in our lives. We all need them sometimes. Your pastor's been twice. I'll probably be again soon. You can't join God in healing the hurt that you brought to another until God shows you why you hurt them in the first place. Jacob had to wrestle with God to be able and ready to wrestle with Esau. And we do too. We're getting there. You're like, man, two blanks. There's really short verses for both of them. When it's time for Jacob to see his brother finally, it's time. He comes in humility and repentance. Genesis 33, verse 3, he himself went on ahead of them, bowing himself to the ground seven times until he came near his brother. As he approaches Esau, Jacob bows to the ground seven times, over and over, saying, I'm so sorry. I messed up so bad. I repent, my brother. I'm so sorry. This act of bowing, it is utmost humility. It's Jacob owning his stuff, putting himself at his brother's mercy. My friends, a couple ways not to join God's healing in relationships we've broken. One way it's not going to work, coming back to that person that we've hurt, but refusing to talk about it. Acting like nothing ever happened. Life should just go on. Just hoping they forget. They don't. And they won't. It doesn't work. In humility, come back to them. Name it. Confess it. Know what else doesn't work? The hypothetical. If I ever did something to hurt you, I'm sorry. Please. What a cop out. We know our stuff. We know when we do what we do. Jacob is falling on his face seven times. And each of those times, what he's saying with his entire body is, I did do something to hurt you, brother. It was terrible. Hence, this extravagant show of sorrow. Have the guts to just name what you did. Humbly come into the presence of the person you hurt and truly repent. There's simply no healing without humility and honesty. Just name it. Just repent. Finally, be ready for the relationship going forward to be healed, because God does that, but to be different. And different is okay, maybe even necessary. Esau accepts Jacob's apology, and if you read the rest of the story, they end up going their different ways to establish different homes in different places anyway. They're not going to be brothers in the same house ever again. But their hearts are at peace with each other. Jacob is no longer riddled by the shame of what he's done. And Esau is no longer sitting at home tending to those nasty wounds of resentment. They're brothers again. They're loving each other again. But they're living in different places. And that is okay. After we've caused a relationship to break, and even after we've done the hard work of doing our part to help God heal it, things might still look different going forward. Our once best friend might see us more as an acquaintance, and that's okay. We'll be at peace knowing that we both only want peace for each other. A spouse who's been unfaithful may never get that marriage back, but they may find a way to raise kids together as companions, wanting each other's well-being so the kids can flourish. new boundaries might be set up. And that doesn't mean that the healing didn't work. That means life goes on. That means relationships change. But our hearts are always invited into healing. We know we're finding it when no matter how that relationship goes, we have peace. And the one we hurt has peace too. The people we've hurt, they just might not really want to share a home with us. But if they at least don't want to kill us, maybe God's doing some healing there. And if they can even bless us as we go on our way and they go on theirs, God's definitely doing some healing there. We've got work to do with God to help it get there. My friends, Jacob's journey is done. But perhaps right now, starting now, ours is just beginning. Would you pray with me? Father God, you have so much mercy and so much grace. When we turn on you, when we hurt you a million times over, you just keep moving toward us in your love. You make it right through Jesus Christ. When it's on us to make it right, you make it right. Oh, what grace we've all received. God, forgive us for the ways we hurt your children. Sometimes on purpose, sometimes not on purpose. We're sometimes just lazy with our words, selfish with our actions. Forgive us, oh God. And knowing that you already do, empower us, encourage us, call us to go in your healing power and make it right. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.